Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. Here are a few quick divorce tips that we provide our clients. Number one, don't move out of your house just because your wife tells you to. Remember, that's your house too. And number two, don't blow through the financial statements that you file with the court. These are key exhibits, and they often make or break your case. And number three, watch the social networking. Expect your wife's lawyer to do a thorough online search. And incidentally, this is a two-way street. Now, a bonus tip. Partner with your attorney in assembling evidence. You're one of the two leading experts on your life and marriage. Your attorney needs your input to achieve your goals. And finally, talk to your attorney before taking action. Good luck.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys. A partner men can count on. Online at CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Azura Rahman on Style File with all the news and views on the business of fashion. And what a weekend this one is set out to be. And of course, here on BFM, it's one that'll be heavy with news and analysis to keep you up to date on what's happening on the ground this election weekend. On the fashion front, though, we've been busy keeping an eye on what our candidates have to wear. And I caught up with some of our election candidates and also Lee Chui Lin on what they have to offer on the fashion front.
Part of the entire appeal of a politician is to have the substance as well as to at least appear presentable. First impressions count, and you know, in an election campaign like this, you don't have much time.
Up next, we move to more familiar territory as Lu Jiawei, editor-in-chief of tonguesheet.com, gives her take on the hologram trend.
I think hologram is one of those very interesting things. I think it's a continuation from a metallic trend which started really with accessories.
First up though, it's our Style File election special. Cometh the hour, cometh the man. More importantly though, what will he be wearing? Now, if the world of politics only consists of policies, intellectual debate and statesmanship, well, we'd have a very boring political arena. In the face of elections, politics is a popularity contest that's judged by not only what you say, but how you appear to be saying it. Think of all the handsome American male presidents, Kennedy, Reagan, Obama, and what about Margaret Thatcher and her unexpected legacy in fashion? This week in Style File, Lee Chui Lin and I take a close look at some of our homegrown politicians, in particular running candidates for this 13th general election, and how their politics inform their personal image.
Part of the entire appeal of a politician is to have the substance as well as to at least appear presentable. First impressions count, and you know, in an election campaign like this, you don't have much time to actually interact with people and go into any amount of significant depth sometimes when you're doing walkabouts. So they judge you on, you know, how you appear, how you speak to them, what it is that you say. I think that's very important.
That was the voice of Yang Berhormat Kari Jamaluddin, incumbent for the Rembau parliamentary seat and also from Barisan Nasional. What Kari said there is very significant in the sense that, you know, first impressions matter when you're meeting your constituents. Sometimes that's all that they have of you. Image is really a very important part of any public figure, I would imagine. Then,
you know, the example of Maggie Thatcher is a good one because when you think of her, you hear the voice, first and foremost, but then secondly, you see this image of this woman, you know, like when it came time for Meryl Streep to play her, it really just took a suit with a skirt. You know who she is, and it's that sort of instant iconic recognition. And I suppose when you're walking around and you're being swarmed by people, it's kind of nice to be able to deliver that, hi, I'm here and you know who I am and who I represent.
Just based on what you wear, definitely.
Exactly.
It's a popularity contest at the end of the day.
It is.
And of course, you know, you would expect that one's politics will also influence one's lifestyle and subsequently the way we present ourselves. You mentioned Maggie Thatcher there. You know, she's known as the original Iron Lady. Armor-like suit that she wore, the warrior-like hair in the sense that, you know, it could, you know, withstand any kind of wind, you know, whether on the battleship, whether it's a dressing down in parliament. How we dress is an extension of our personalities at the end of the day. Looking at the politicians we have today, though, Lin, what does that mean? Perhaps a bit more ambiguous when it comes to race-based component parties, but with parties based on ideologies and ideals, you expect certain cohesiveness between their principles and their garments, don't you think?
I agree, but I think it's so hard for everybody to dress to represent, I don't know, say, liberalism. know what that involves. Do we all wear jeans and shout out tees? And also, I think on the one hand, you do dress the way you are expected. You know, there are very, very few prominent female politicians in this country and elsewhere who don't dress a certain way.
Right.
You know, internationally, you've got your female presidents who all dress in one variation or colour or another of Maggie Thatcher. You know, everybody's got the suits, everybody's got a very modest blouse on underneath, you know, there's very little colour to be had.
Very businesslike, I
very,
suppose.
Very businesslike. And locally, it's a bit softer.
Yes. What I think kind of runs through both examples is that there is that need to remain feminine still. I mean,
there is.
Maggie Thatcher never wore a single trouser during her entire time as Prime Minister of the UK. And again, here you do find that most politicians are dressed, you know, either in their baju kurung, in something that represents their feminine side, as opposed to your state buttoned up trouser suit. That doesn't seem to go down well with female politicians. So that's quite a curious observation, actually, that you have there. Well, one party people tend to conjure certain images is the Parti Sosialis Malaysia. And I spoke to Yang Berhormat Dr. Michael Jayakumar Devaraj from Parti Sosialis Malaysia and the incumbent for the Sungai Siput seat. And in case you were wondering how a socialist dresses like these days, this is what he says in terms of his uniform.
Well, I keep it the same as usual. You know, I don't think it's correct to dress differently just because it's elections, right? I dress fairly simply, you know, black pants and a white shirt or a light colored shirt, and I'm using that now as well.
Do you treat that white shirt and dark pants a bit of it as a uniform of sorts to keep it simple for you?
Yeah, but I've been doing that all the time, you know. Even when it's not election period, I dress similarly, unless I've got to go to Parliament and I've got to wear a tie and long sleeves and all that. But, you know, otherwise a short sleeve shirt, usually it's light colored and dark pants.
Now, that's interesting. You know, he mentioned about, you know, almost like a uniform described that he wears, whether he's actually running for elections or not. Socialists like him doesn't really care about, you know, what fancy threads that he should be wearing. It's just more about his policies, I guess, at the end of the day.
And he's, you know, dressing like the people. Everybody
right.
can afford to get,
Absolutely.
You know, a white shirt, pair of dark pants.
Mm-hmm.
What I love most about that clip is how unimpressed he is with, you know, the pomp and circumstance of elections.
Well, you know what, Lynn? I have to tell you, throughout all the interviews that I conducted with the running candidates for this particular show, everyone was quite trepidatious about, you know, appearing frivolous. Oh, you know, fashion's a frivolous thing. I don't know if I should be talking about this. I should be talking about policy. So it took a lot of persuading on my part. But hey, you know, we all know it matters.
Does. We are looking at you, people.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, since he mentioned about the typical uniform of a socialist, well, let's talk about the typical uniform of a Malaysian politician. Now, and funnily enough, I think we've come to expect politicians to dress in a certain way. You know, the archetypal stereotype of the past, perhaps, is a bush-jacketed, name-tagged presence of your Malaysian statesman. But more on that bush jacket later. I mean, the national costume is also a favourite of many politicians, as well as the batik shirt.
I don't understand why we still do batik shirts. I mean, I understand, yes, it's a national treasure.
It's
yes,
a cultural
it's art,
you know,
form,
yes.
You know. But should we maybe consider other colours?
Or different material, perhaps?
Yeah, maybe
you know?
Less earthy tones. Maybe let's try for something a bit more vibrant, bring out the lovely eyes in some of our candidates.
I just think that, you know, silky material on a pot-bellied man is never a good look. I think we need to start going back to cotton, perhaps, or, you know, something that's a bit more stiffer, that gives a bit more of a shape.
The other thing about batik shirts, they've got a certain association, don't they? Because they're often worn by sort of rich men who didn't want to buy suits, going to weddings in hotels.
Yes, an easy piece of clothing, I suppose.
It
you know?
Is.
But I don't know if it has any relevance amongst the people who are below the age of 50, perhaps.
Exactly.
Recent years, we've also seen, you know, a keen appropriation of the country's various racist traditional costumes to represent that Muhibah spirit. And one politician who's done it particularly well is Datuk Sri Dr. Ng Yen Yen, and she's the current Minister of Tourism. And she has this kebaya, cipau and sari hybrid. It's the shape of a kebaya with a cipau collar and shawl from a sari, which is a curious hybrid, but, you know, she's managed to pull that off for quite a few years during her tenure as Minister of Tourism.
Do you like it?
I think it's a sartorial success in multiculturalism, an unprecedented one, but it's not really been replicated by our Malaysian ladies, isn't it? So that probably gives you a bit of an indication as to whether it's something that's been universally adapted or not.
A lot of our traditional outfits have become adapted with a sort of interplay of fabrics and all that for the sake of comfort as much as anything
right.
else. But also just because you have so many seamstresses here mm. who know how to do so many different things because of the different women that they meet, the different men that they meet. So it's kind of interesting to be able to, you know, use a fabric that may traditionally have been used only for a cheongsam
right.
and make something else out of it.
And the kabaya can be a supremely comfortable piece of clothing if it's done in a very loose way and if it's done in a kebarong kind of fashion where it's a bit longer. And Nurul Iza Anwar of Parti Keadilan Rakyat, an incumbent for the Lembah Pantai seat, this is what she has to say on her favourite outfit, which is the kebaya.
I mean, certainly you talk about the traditional kebaya, it's so crucial. I mean, I think I wear that a lot, especially in Kampung Kerinci, in Pantai Alam, because sometimes when you go to funerals, you go to weddings, I would like to maintain the kebaya because I like, you know, our traditions, our identity, especially for weddings. Yes, I do go to weddings. I do try my very best to wear a kebaya, although once wearing a T-shirt and one of our supporters invited me and I had to go with a donning of a T-shirt. And I think, yeah, you know, I could avoid it. But, you know, by and large, it is also not necessary to pander, as right, more of respecting your host and trying to also fit with the occasion.
No, bear in mind though, Lynn, I mean, this is elections period, you know, it is a hard slog and some of us wouldn't be able to look as dainty and demure as Nurul Iza in a kebaya during our walkabouts.
Or ever,
absolutely. And, you know, this is what Michael Jayakumar and Khairi Jamaluddin had to say in terms of rules to dressing during the notorious election walkabouts.
I don't give that much importance. Whatever is ironed, whatever is ready, yeah, whatever is clean, whatever is ironed, you know.
During a campaign, an election campaign, I think the most important thing is functionality and also being presentable.
Right.
So, you know, I think you have to make sure that you wear the at least the right colors as far as the party colors are concerned. Make sure that, you know, because you are out for hours on end in weather that can change from rain to extremely hot. So, you know, you have to be really comfortable.
I mean, no surprises there from Dr. Michael Jayakumar. Whatever is clean, whatever is, you know, ready, that's what he had to say in terms of doing his walkabout.
I am curious as to how many identical pieces of clothing Dr. Jayakumar has.
I imagine if you were to open his wardrobe, you'd see like just rows and rows of white shirts and black trousers. You know, Khairi mentioned there about having to wear the right colours to be associated with the right party at the very least. And of course, we've also come to expect the logoed party T-shirt to be worn by candidates during the election period. Now, I have a bone to pick with this party T-shirt thing, or party shirt more like it. They seem to be of the rather shapeless variety, you know, akin to what a Japanese worker would wear at a car assembly plant. You know, all epaulettes and short sleeves for men and women, you know. It's like the most unflattering thing that you could wear. Surely there's a more stylish option, don't you think so, Lynn?
Absolutely. I think a lot of it, you know what happens when you watch TV and everybody there is in a party shirt, it is not just that the fabric and it looks like you're looking at something through a kaleidoscope and all you see logos.
And you don't,
logos.
Yeah, exactly. I think you kind of lose a sense of your personality in that sense.
You do.
Well, I'll go one step further and say, why even have a logo party shirt? Can we just put a little badge or a little button onto your normal shirt? And I asked Khairi Jamaluddin about this. The logoed party T-shirt, especially
yeah.
the multi-logoed kind, it's not a very subtle way of addressing your politics, I suppose. Is it your choice?
You know, I mean, this is the only thing I'm going to say about some of our apparel. There's one batik shirt that they give BN leaders with the scale, the Daqing logo all over.
Mm-hmm.
It's like scattered all over. So I choose not to wear that because I think that's a bit OTT.
So subtlety is more of your call then?
Well, you can't be too subtle. You know,
mm-hmm.
you have to make sure that message is driven home, which mm. party you represent. But I don't think you should be garish or gaudy about it.
He's a man of style.
He is a man of style.
You know?
And he is a man who knows what he wants.
Exactly. You know, he's not afraid to say that he will not compromise certain principles of his style for the sake of party politics. So well done you, Khairi Jamaluddin, on that. You know, you get a huge thumbs up from this program anyway.
Stamp of approval.
Stamp of approval.
No, party shirts are also, in a sense, just not trusting people to dress themselves. You
yes.
know, like, are you going to show up wearing the right colours and then, you know, Azura can pin a little badge on you? Or shall we just put the logo all over you?
And what if the party colours, Zolin, does not flatter your skin tone? I mean, turquoise, I have to say, is a very, very difficult colour to pull off, as Nurul Iza herself would attest.
think it's a bit in your face. he doesn't suit me very well, actually.
Right.
You know, for some, especially, you know, it depends on your skin tone. I wear something like silverish, very light, and then just a shawl on top. Yeah, the point is, you know, when you're campaigning, it's really rough work. It's tough. Mm-hmm. So when you're frequenting 16 floors of a particular condominium, the Bawa is the best, yet, you know, I will definitely choose a turquoise colored shawl on top of the pastel colored Bawa randomly.
Such minute details to cater to, you know, having like a combination of another scarf on top of a turquoise scarf to make sure it still flatters the skin tone. She thinks it through, doesn't she?
I was going to say that I love that she thinks about it, because
yes.
I like that she's not just wearing it anyway and deciding, you know what, gonna represent the party, gonna look crap, but it's okay.
So now we actually know why she's always dressed in pastel colours, because someone did ask me, why is Nurul always in pastel colours? Obviously, party politics does not get in the way of good taste for her. Now, we mentioned the bush jacket earlier on, Lynn. You know, I'm in two minds about this, like you are in some ways, or maybe you're just in one mind about it, you hate it.
I'm in one mind about it. Now, to be fair, for me, it's a childhood association, because the disciplinary teacher in my primary school used to wear one all the time and walk around with a rattan, which wasn't exactly the most subtle way of saying, I will punish you. So, you know, when you grow up with that kind of hovering over your head, and then sort of Saddam Hussein enters the picture, it's kind of hard to, you know, have a positive association.
Well, we've not seen the bush jacket on politicians much nowadays, I would say. Probably in the last 5 years or so, it's kind of like, you know, died a bit of a slow death. I tend to have the same sorts of associations with you. And I did ask Kari Jamaluddin about this, and he obviously has a soft spot for the bush jacket when I asked him about its now rather rare appearance in the political arena. Now, some people are also mourning the death of the bush jacket, Kari.
I do as well. I do to this very day. I'm a huge fan of it, and I look forward to trying to bring it back one day.
Will you be bringing it back for this election?
Not this election, but hopefully soon, because I think it died an untimely death, because it was just cut bad, and, you know, it was associated with a strong authoritarian man, let's put it that way. So I think it's ripe for a comeback, and I think the time is now.
So what do you think? Ripe for a comeback, the bush jacket, Lynn?
I think, you know, Kairi, you're doing okay right now in the style department. I don't know if it's a bit ambitious to decide that the bush jacket is what you want to choose, you know, to make a comeback. But I think, to be fair, we've been talking a lot about lines and cutting in this show. And the bush jacket does offer you very clean lines, very straight, very neat.
It does. It's just the short sleeves really, really bothers me. Amongst other things. But I agree with you, Lynn. I think, Kari, you're doing well as you are. Perhaps, you know, calling for the comeback for the bush jacket is not the best move. I'm here with Lee Chu Lin for the Starfile election special, where we speak to running candidates in the 13th general election on conveying their message in the art of fashion. After the break, we'll touch on baju kurungs, skinny jeans, and all that it takes to get it right with the electorate. Before that, though, here's the sounds of Candy by Lower Dance, and this was played at Simone Rocha's Fall 2013 collection in New York. It's Starfile on BFM 89.9 with me, Azura Rahman, and with a special guest appearance by Lee Chui Lin, who's normally on The Bigger Picture, and she's joined me especially for our election special. Now, getting it right, it's not easy being a politician, Lin. I mean, in particular, if you're a running candidate during these heady times of the 13th general election. I mean, for normal folks like us, it's tough enough having to agonise over your body shape, the right colours, you know, choosing the right trends. I mean, for these guys, they have folks to pander to as well. Same time, isn't it?
It is. And I think, you know, for the many of us who've been to Churamas during this time, and, you know, you're sitting down and you can hear the person in front of you speaking, obviously, and you hear the little whispers of the crowd behind you talking about, oh, do they look right? Do they sound right? And you understand the level of scrutiny that these people are under.
Funnily enough, one of the candidates that I did speak to, that a lot of the criticism doesn't seem to come on a face-to-face basis. Being Malaysians, we do it behind our Facebook accounts.
We're comfortable that way.
Yes, exactly, or over Twitter. And one of the candidates that I spoke to was Muni Hidayah, and she's a first-time candidate from PKR, running for the Paya Besar parliamentary seat. And despite her love for blouses and skinny jeans, her constituents would have none of it.
Being a youngest candidate, and, you know, you want to wear pants, you want to wear blouse, you know, you don't want to wear baju kurung all the time. But Paya Besar is a bit different because it's predominantly a rural area, so you're dealing with makcik-makcik. And you know, you can't run away from that conservative idea that, you know, you have to wear baju kurung. You know, you can't be seen wearing jeans and blouse while doing your campaign process in Paya Besar. But, well, I'll try to, you know, suit myself. Not every day that, you know, I'll wear baju kurung, but, mm-hmm. you know, when you wear blouse, you know, it has to be an appropriate one and not with the skinny jeans, definitely.
Right. Now, on the other hand, I spoke to another candidate, and he's from PAS, and he is running for the Titi Wangsa parliamentary seat, and that's Ahmad Zamri Asad Kuzaimi. And he's got his work cut out, Lynn, as a modern young Muslim who's running for an urban seat. We all have our associations when it comes to, you know, PAS politicians, you know, the Serbanista, so to speak, that kind of very traditional associations. And he's got his work cut out in many ways, Ahmad Zamri, and actually to try to break this stereotype as a young urban Muslim.
Normally you see this candidate wearing songkok baju Melayu, right. And the other one wearing blazer coat or whatever. I have my poster all around Titi Wangsa. I'm wearing a Malaysian football jersey and a cap to attract the voters. Okay. I received a very good response from the especially the young voters, right. the young generation. Say, oh, this is something new. You see that connected to them. In my campaign, I go to different levels. When we meet a young people, of course, I go to the extent of wearing the Malaysian football jersey.
Right.
It's look cool and casual because we want to attract the young voters.
Okay.
And when we go, we have a ceramah or anything in surau and in masjid, of course. Of course, we wear the normal with the songkok or kopiah,
right.
And baju Melayu and with the sarung. Looks like, more personal touch.
No, I think that's a masterstroke, wearing a football jersey. I mean, I think he had been thinking about it. What would I wear to make myself appear modern and, you know, and yet appeal to the urban crowd? The Malaysian football jersey. I mean, sport is a very unifying thing, and it's probably something you don't normally associate with a party like PAS.
He's just gone straight into, you know, pandering to Malaysia's other major religion, football.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's really smart. And and he mentions young people there, of course, but I think when it comes to, you know, wearing the Malaysian football jersey, you know, like, that appeals across the board.
Yes.
That gets to everybody.
Yeah.
And he gets to be comfortable.
Absolutely, you know, and he could play a quick game of kickball if required.
Photo op.
So moving on though, we have Nur Izzah again, who has also, she's also got a fondness for skinny jeans, but unfortunately, not all her Lembah Pantai constituents think the same.
White leg pants. You wouldn't believe how many comments I get for not wearing white leg pants. I love skinny jeans. The problem is you have to wear something appropriate so that it covers your thighs. So it becomes a difficult bit. And of course, I, you know, in Pantai Dalam, it's relatively more conservative. So, of course, white leg is always the safest lah.
So, you know, we've had a listen to some of our candidates and, you know, some of the sartorial conundrums that they face during this election period. Can they do better, Lynn? What do you think?
See, for me, I don't know if I'm the person that they are speaking to. You know, all these people that, you know, all the politicians today who are talking about how their constituents want to view them. And, you know, what I want to view them in is fitted clothes, like nicely fitted clothes.
You just want hot-looking candidates.
You know, what's so bad about that? I don't think that there is anything bad about lots of dudes in really nice suits.
Now, there's no doubt, though, Lynn. I mean, there is social currency in getting your image done right. I mean, if it was my way, I would like all politicians to take a leaf out of Barack Obama's lookbook. I think, you know, he's done very well in the sense that you've got the sharp but not flashy suits, because that's very important. And of course, you've got the supporting cast, you know, the gorgeous Obama ladies. You know, that tends to help, I suppose. You know, dress in high street clothing as well. You know, so on message.
They really, really are. And she also, you know, there was some controversy about picking non-American designers to wear. But it's kind of nice to have a first lady with that sort of international touch.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think when it comes to politicians who've done it right, I'm just going to go vintage, as is my usual, you know, sort of aesthetic. And I think JFK that you mentioned, you know, right at the top of this whole show, JFK did really good. Again, it comes down to the suits, right? It's those great suits, perfectly fit, crisp shirts. And then you've got your beautiful wife who's dressed like in, you know, total 60s Dolly Bird fashion.
It's an image of a time gone by. Perhaps it speaks volumes of how we dress today more than anything else.
The Kennedys, though, they understood that they were going to be important. I mean, they have all these archives of, you know, family videos and all that stuff that, you know, they kind of did sort of in the understanding that someday this would be important to the American public, you know, even before they were the Kennedys as such. So they really understood the importance of looking great.
Well, Tony Blair, he understood the importance of projecting the right image. Some people thought that it was a bit too smooth, a bit too slick. And then he was hauled up over spending thousands of pounds of taxpayers' money on makeup. You know, on making sure that he looks good for all those close-ups for HDTV. And perhaps that's slightly overreaching for a politician. Can never underestimate the power of good concealer.
No, I agree. But I think that it's sort of the huge shattering of dreams to be hauled up on spending money on makeup.
I know. You sound like a big sissy to start
you
off
do.
With.
I mean, not even suits, but makeup.
Makeup, absolutely. Do you think that's a key thing, Lynn? Whether, you know, politicians should actually employ stylists to be told how you should be dressed, to be advised on how you should dress?
In the case of people as busy as our local politicians, it might not be such a bad thing to have somebody to take that off you.
Right. Well, if you don't have the luxury of having a stylist, Ahmad Zamri, he's got it right when I asked him, who styles him? Who advises you on what to wear?
My wife.
The best advice
the
that
best
one can
advice.
Have. Right.
And my car is just like my second cabinet.
Right.
I mean... Yeah, my wife advised me.
Okay, so you have clothes in your car to change
exactly.
just in case,
just
right?
Just in case, yeah.
Now, wife as a stylist and spare clothes on the run. I mean, sartorially speaking, he sounds like my kind of guy.
I couldn't agree more. That man is wise.
You know, just because they are politicians, Lynn, it doesn't mean that they can't be stylish or have an interest in fashion for that matter. When I first discussed with people in the office about who should I have on the show, who should I actually, you know, interview, the name that cropped up frequently was Kari Jamaluddin, and that's due to the cover that, you know, he had on Harper's Bazaar magazine in that rather questionable top. And, you know, bless Nurul Izzah, you know, she herself has a love for local designers, you know, so just because she's a politician doesn't mean that she doesn't have a penchant for what's stylish. And this is what she had to say.
I must tell you a secret. I did buy a couple of Jovian Korean moderns from Zalora.com.
Right, okay.
So, yes, I try. I think my sister was the one who was very persistent, like, for goodness sake, you know, you better keep up with the trends. And
right.
Yes, I do have two pairs now.
So, Jovian Mandagi, you have a fan in Nurul Izzah
and Zalora.
Just to round things off, Lynn, would you like our politicians to be more stylish, whether from a voter's point of view, whether from a fashion lover's point of view?
As somebody who likes her fashion, if I've got to look at you, if you look good, you know, if you look good, that doesn't hurt. But from a voter's point of view, I think I speak for most of us when I say that you're always going to be more interested in what they have to say.
Absolutely.
And in how they're going to play their role in making your constituency and the country better. Right. And so from that point of view, if you do it while, you know, dressed in a snazzy outfit, all the better. Won't think any less of you. But if you do it, you know, in wide-legged pants and a party shirt.
Right.
Content is still there.
Just to round things off, again, we have, you know, Michael Jayakuma, and he says it best when it comes to fashion and politics.
The image is important, but the image also has got to be followed by a lifestyle. You know, you can't just spin an image just for the public to see, and then you have a different lifestyle.
And that was the Starfight Election Special, joined by our style makers, Dr. Michael Jayaratnam, Khairi Jamaluddin, Nurul Izzah, Muni Hidayah, Ahmad Zamri, and of course, my colleague, Lee Chui Lin. Up next, the future looks bright with Lu Jiawei, editor-in-chief of Tongsheet.com, as she gets all futuristic with her take on the hologram trend right after the break. It's Azura Rahman on Starfile. We have Lu Jiawei, editor-in-chief of Tongsheet.com, with her take on the hologram trend.
Holograms? Yes. If you're a girl, you will think Gem in the holograms.
Absolutely.
If you're a boy, you think like Tupac at Coachella. Funny, I've had this conversation before, and it's really quite funny how divided we are. So, yes, I think hologram is one of those very interesting things. I think it's a continuation from a metallic trend, which started really with accessories that we've seen, I think that started about two seasons ago. And we saw a lot of that mirrored kind of textures. And since then, the reincarnation, the evolution of that has been really hologram accessories, clothing, you know. And it's something that I think was embraced a lot more stronger than the streetwear designers. It featured very, very prominently in the Rebecca Minkoff collections for Kate Spade, like Stella McCartney. And these are all kind of the very streetwear-friendly designers.
Mm-hmm.
So We see it pretty much on everything. But what is interesting to me is that we don't really see it on very unique or constructed silhouettes.
Right.
We really see it on very, I say, ordinary fashion items, you know, on like stilettos, on shoes, on bags, you know, on shift dresses, on t-shirts, you know. So it really kind of presents itself as something that is almost casual,
right,
but the treatment of which is actually a little bit psychedelic.
I mean, do you think the reason behind it is on I guess, your common fashion items, your typical silhouettes, because of
the psychedelicness?
Yes, exactly. I mean, the very nature of it being psychedelic, yes. Because, you know, the very nature of the fact that it's a complicated and not an easy to wear kind of print.
Yeah, and I think I think it works best in small doses. And because, you know, the trend of dresses especially has been very much grounded in like little shift dresses, little one pieces. So I think a one piece hologram dress, I think if you show up in a one piece hologram dress, I think your friends will be like, "Where are you? I don't see you." You know, all I see is this, like, you know, big shiny beacon. So we do see it much, much more adapted for individual pieces.
Mm.
And I think particularly my favorite is actually hologram printed stiletto, pointy toed stiletto shoes. Yes.
You know, be exact as you like, you know, Jawi, go ahead and do that.
You know, I just thought I'd keep it quite general, you know. Because I think those really add kind of a nice update to a wardrobe. And, you know, we have been talking about the science fiction trend, you know, and how it has appeared in tailoring. So this is kind of like a more accessible science fiction trend, you know. Science fiction reference tailoring is not exactly the most accessible wearable trend.
Mm.
So I guess like this kind of holographic prints that you find on accessories is definitely something that anyone can adopt. Because it's not too heavy.
Obviously, you don't do it head to toe unless you're headed for Comic Con kind of thing.
Right? Yeah, or, you know, if you're going for a theme party, or if you want to hide, you know, from a certain someone. I don't know. You know, if you don't want to be seen, you know, you just want to be...
Be beaming out light. Yes, you know. That's, yes. I mean, how would you style it then, in that sense? One piece by one piece?
So I would definitely use hologram as accents. You know, I feel like if you are wearing a hologram t-shirt, then everything else shouldn't be. Like... I have this really good analogy that I have to share. I had a chance to interview Jeannie Mai last weekend, and she, of course, is a host of How Do I Look? And she had a very good analogy about styling, because she said that, you know, styling is like driving. You have to have a driver and you have to have a passenger.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have too many drivers, you know, the car won't go anywhere. But if you're all fashion, if you're all passengers, then the car won't move either. You know, so in a way, like if you're wearing hologram, the hologram is the driver. So everything else has to be a passenger where it's slightly more subdued. And if you do it in that kind of accents where only one or two pieces are in that hologram print, then your car will drive very well.
And that was this week's episode of Stylefile. If you've missed any bits of this interview at all, don't forget to catch our podcast on www.bfm.my. And of course, don't forget to like our Facebook as well. Here to take you through the rest of this very exciting election weekend, we have Trick Pony, the Boys Noise remix by Charlotte Gainsbourg. And this was played at Matthew Williamson's Spring Summer 2013 collection. This is Stylefile, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.